Welcome. You found the Love Mentalism Podcast, a podcast hosted by author Michael DeCamp that focuses on exploring, discussing, and promoting the deep concepts and practical application of biblical love. We hope you enjoy this episode and are challenged to learn to love more deeply. Jesus taught us and showed us the way. It's up to us to learn how to follow it. If more and more of us can do that, we will change the world.
Hey everyone, this is Mike DeCamp coming to you on the Love Mentalism Podcast, and I have just a few thoughts for you tonight, or this morning, or this afternoon, whenever you're listening. It's evening here, not quite night. Days are getting shorter. It's August. I kind of dread that time of year when the days start getting shorter. I kind of like having the extra daylight, and it's not, the days aren't short enough to create a problem yet, but I know it's coming. But hey, I want to share my moment of the episode with you now. And it's a little bit like the previous moment from last episode, because it's based on something that happened while my wife and I were out for a walk. And I've been doing a lot of walking this summer, and I'm literally trying to walk my backside off, trying to walk my butt off. I've gotten too heavy, and I am diligently walking morning and evening. And a few weeks ago, not long after I recorded the last episode, I was out for a walk again with my wife. We were walking in Indianapolis, downtown Indianapolis. Actually, we drove to my oldest daughter's house, parked our car, and then walked to downtown and back. It was a little over 5 miles total. And I encountered a couple of things along the way that kind of made me think. It's something that's been on my mind ever since. I've been thinking through it. I don't have answers for everything here that I'm going to bring up, but I have a lot of thoughts, and I know there are answers out there if smart people would get together, promise not to fight with one another, and actually work on solutions. So when you walk in an urban area, one thing that you are definitely going to run across is you're going to run across homeless people. And as we were walking, we walked from the south side near Garfield Park up through Fountain Square. If you're from Indianapolis, you'd probably recognize some of these. We walked up the Cultural Trail up Shelby Street and Virginia Avenue, and then cut over at South Street, went all the way over to Meridian, and then cut north on Meridian all the way to the Circle. And we passed a number of homeless people along the way. And there were a couple of them that kind of, a couple of things that happened as we were getting near the Circle that kind of made me think. First thing that happened was we passed a man, I would say he's probably in his 40s. And he was clearly, he was clearly someone who was, he had a sign and he was seeking money. He was sitting on the corner, had a dog with him, and he was angry. I mean, he was livid. He was ranting actually to the dog. And he was angry about something, and which made me a little bit more hesitant to engage with him. But he, I heard him say, how do you put it? They'll find out on the GD judgment day. Only he didn't say GD. He said something else. Those are letters. I'm sure you can figure it out. You're grownups. And I thought, first of all, I thought, what's driving that? And I kind of figured it was probably because somebody harassed him. Somebody said something probably insulting to him or mean-spirited, and he reacted out of anger, and they'll find out. They'll find out on the GD judgment day. And then I thought, Matthew 25, They probably will find out. They probably will find out on the judgment day. So that was the first thing. Then I walked along, and about a block further up, I start hearing someone speaking. They're shouting. They're actually in a microphone. There's speakers on the corner, and I see there's a number of young men all dressed kind of similarly with t-shirts, and they've got little cards. And as people are coming by, they're trying to hand out the cards. And the man speaking is preaching. He's doing some public preaching and going on and on about how we need to repent and how we need to change our way of life, and that we're in danger of the fires of hell, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, when I was younger, much younger, probably dial the clock back 30 years or more. I was part of a movement that was, you know, back in those days, there were some of the more radical ones were very much into street preaching, and they'd be out on the corner and they would be doing some street preaching. And I don't really have I've never had a desire to do it. Maybe I had a desire to not be afraid to do it, but I don't know that I ever had a desire to actually do it. But I've, you know, I have a certain amount of respect because I know that's a difficult thing to do. Sometimes when you're like me and maybe struggle a little bit with some insecurities and some fears, but so I have a little bit of respect for it, but it just bothered me. You know, here's this homeless guy, in need. And instead of actually helping him, they're preaching to anybody and everybody that walks by. And then, you know, I go about half a block. I go across the street. There's another homeless person sitting there on the corner. A little bit further, there's a homeless person asleep on a bench. So there's all these homeless people. And what these guys are doing are just handing out little cards and preaching about the fires of hell. I thought there's a disconnect here. It was bothering me. And I also realized that I wasn't prepared to give anything to anybody who may ask me. So I kind of surreptitiously pulled out a little bit of cash and put it in my pocket, just a little bit. And I kept going, and I prayed, you know, God, if there's somebody that needs what's in my pocket, help me to be willing to give. And if there's something I need to say to someone, give me the urging and the courage to say it. And so, because the preaching thing was still kind of bothering me. So I go a little further down the road. We go around the circle. And two young men approach me. And at first I started to walk by, and then I thought, no, I'm gonna engage them. And so I said, what is this? And they handed me the card, and the guy goes, it's the gospel. And I said, what is the gospel? And he looked at me, he took the card back, and he flipped it over, and he started to read it. And I said, no, I don't want you to read the card. I want you to tell me what the gospel is. And then he was kind of looking at the back of the card, and he was talking about broken world and how we're all sinners and we've all fallen short of the glory of God and that we're all in danger. And I'm like, no. Don't you think people already know that don't they already know that part? I think maybe what they need to know is that God loves them anyway, that the gospel is really about God loving them. Don't you think? Anyway, we had this back and forth, and I walked on, and I passed some more homeless people, and whatever little bit of money I had in my pocket ended up in their hands. And what they do with it, that's up to them. But it was a matter of me making sure my heart was soft enough to give, and that I didn't get hard-hearted toward people who are in need. But that was my moment of this episode. And that's been on my mind a lot, because I really feel like, folks, that homelessness is a problem that's all around us, and it's getting worse. And there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way. And there's smart people out there that if they would put their heads together and put their finances together, we could come up with a way to help these folks get out of the mess that they're in. Anyway, that's my thought for right now. Still working through that. Don't know the answers, but I'm all ears. So anyway, the other thing that's been going on is I was asked at church where I attend to do a 10-week class, and we're titling it Love Initiative 2. We had a love initiative a few years ago, and we're re-engaging on the topic of love, and we're calling it Love Initiative 2. And they asked me to lead the class. It's going to be 7 classes and 3 discussion forums. And so I've done 2 of the classes. Last weekend was the first discussion forum, but I had to be out of town. I was with my wife. We took a little weekend getaway. So someone else led the forum, but leading the class has been fun. And I hope that it's been encouraging to the people who are hearing it, but I hope even more so that it's challenging them. I'm hoping that the things that I am saying and sharing and teaching is touching their hearts, and they're seeing just how important it is to love our neighbor, to love one another, to love our enemies, and to act in every way out of a motivation of love. But I'll tell you one of the things that I came across, and I didn't realize this was going to have the impact on me that it has, was a passage in Philippians. And that's what I really want to share with you today. I don't know how long this episode's going to go. It might be 20 minutes total, and I'm already halfway there, so who knows? And I had this passage underlined in my Bible already with a little note off to the left that said, love is the catalyst. Love is the catalyst. And you're saying, well, what is the scripture, Mike? Why don't you tell us? Okay, well, here you go. Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. And it goes something like this. This is NIV. And this is my prayer. That's Paul speaking, if you didn't know that. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. And you know what? I didn't realize just how much is packed into these 3 little verses. I mean, it's loaded. It's loaded, folks. There's so much there. And I'm not going to expound and go here and there and everywhere else to kind of back all this up. I'll let you do that when you want to. But let's unpack it a little bit. He says, this is my prayer. So he's praying this. This is what he's feeling about the Philippians. This is what he's praying to God about, that your love may abound more and more. Okay, that's great. We all kind of pray that we would love more, right? That we would love one another more. That's a great prayer. But he says specifically that their love would abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. I'm like, what I get from that is that we're continually growing in our understanding of how high and wide and deep is the love of Christ, and also how wide and long and deep is our love for one another, and all of the myriad of ways that it makes a difference. It makes a difference in everything we do, and in every interaction, every conversation, every decision. Love makes a difference. And the more we understand and grow in that depth of insight, the better we are, specifically better able to discern what is best. I used to be an elder or shepherd at our congregation, and we used to talk a lot about praying for discernment. We would try to make a decision, and we would pray that God would help us to discern what was the right thing to do. And I don't know exactly how we felt like all of a sudden we would understand that, you know, which way God is pointing us. I don't know if we were looking and waiting for some sort of magical understanding to kind of come into our hearts, but we were praying that God would help us to discern whether to do this or whether to do that, how to do this, how to not do that. And it says right here that if our love is abounding more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, we'll be able to discern what is best. Our discernment on what is best grows out of our understanding of love, of our love for one another, our love for God, our love for Christians, our love for non-Christians, our love for our neighbors, our love for our enemies. The more we understand love, the better we are at discerning what is best. And then it says, let's go back. It says, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. We talk about wanting to have pure lives, pure hearts. Purity is kind of a big deal. Guys, we struggle with purity, don't we? Let's be honest. You know, you can't turn on the TV. You can't look at your phone. You can't look at social media without things that, you know, we as Christians, as conservative, evangelical, Christian, however you want to call it, you know, we struggle with our purity because we, you know, we're scared to death of lusting. Well, hey, you want to get better at being pure and blameless? Learn to love better. Grow in your depth of insight when it comes to love. Allow your knowledge of love to grow deeper. And that will not only help you to be able to discern what is best, but it will help you to be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Because the more you love, the more you can't look at somebody else in that lustful, selfish, narcissistic way that we do. Does that make sense to you? I hope that you're picking up that. So love is this catalyst that the more we understand its depth, the more insight we have into it, the better we are at making right decisions, and also the better we are at controlling our evil thoughts and being pure and blameless for the day of Christ. This is filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. We want to be fruitful Christians. We want to make a difference in the world. We want to help other people. If we want to be fruitful, if we want to bring the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, again, it all peels back to learning about love, to growing in our depth of insight, in our knowledge of the love of Christ. The more we learn about love, the more we make a difference, the purer our lives are, and the better we are at making discerning decisions. Does that make sense? I know I kind of stumbled over that. I might repeat it again. The deeper our insight, the better our knowledge of the love of Christ, the more pure our lives will be, the more fruitful our righteousness is, and the better we are at making discerning decisions about whatever it is that we need to decide. I had a friend a long time ago. He was a preacher that he got into the habit of preaching a sermon for a while. A lot of his messages were wrapped around what's the loving thing to do. And the more I think about it, the more he's spot on right there. I don't know if he's held on to that over the years or not, but I can tell you that I've thought about it a lot over the years, and I think this is exactly right. We need to ask ourselves in every situation, what's the loving thing to do? And we need to grow deeper and deeper and deeper in our knowledge and depth of insight when it comes to what is the loving thing to do. We'll make better decisions. We'll have purer lives. And we will bring fruit of righteousness before our God and Savior. Folks, thank you for hanging in here with me. I am right at about 20 minutes. I think that's probably the perfect timing, right? So I hope you've enjoyed this little thoughtful discourse on Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. May your love abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Take care, folks.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Love Mentalism Podcast. You're welcome to send comments to the host at the following email address, michael@authormicheldecamp.com. Michael is available for limited speaking engagements, both live and virtual. Reach out for details. The music for this podcast was written and performed by Xander Fadley. You can find his work at www.xanderfadley.com. The logo was created by Blue Sign Concepts, Indianapolis. Executive producer is Bill Whitehair. Please come back for the next episode of the Love Mentalism Podcast.